I had a question, though, that was asked to me over the last few weeks, and I've had several questions. And so I thought, you know what, as we're in this area, I'll go ahead and I'll touch on it real quickly and then go on into the message. Before I do that, though, there's some things that we need to remind ourselves of that a lot of times we get very confused or we just don't think about it a lot. And as we rightly divide the Word, we need to understand, just as when we see the Word or when we see those things talking about Peter, to remind ourselves that when he spoke to the flock, that was the true Israel. That was the Israel that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Because all through the Word, you can see Israel, you can see circumcision, you can see all these words. And it's important as we read the Word, we know who they're talking to specifically. So remember, there's those that are Israel as a nation that weren't all believers, and there are those that were the true Israel that were believers. I'm saying that because as I have some people that have been reading Romans, they'll text me or they'll call me or they'll ask me some questions. And Joe would ask me what's a good place to start even also too. And they started, I always say start in Romans, but you got to understand what Paul's talking about. There's a lot of history that's going on in the book of Romans. I mean, he speaks to those before the law. You know, he brings up history before the law. He brings up, I believe, a specific Jew. He brings up those that were Jews that were unbelieving Jews that had fallen. And he speaks of ourselves as Gentiles all through the book of Romans. So it's important as we dissect that book, we know it's our doctrine, that we understand who he's talking about when he's talking about it. I had a question the other week about what about the Romans Road, because I had just totally clobbered it. And then when Mark talked Sunday morning, he reminded me of an area of the Romans Road that we don't take that, for instance, because there are things that are said there that Paul is speaking directly to the history. He's speaking to the Jews about their history and what had happened. Well, if you're prone to all your life what you must do, then it's easy to get confused. Just real quick, go to Romans and chapter 10. It's where I always went to when I was going to lead somebody to Christ. I was going to be good. I was going to teach them how to be saved. And I was sincere and meant everything that I did. And it was the fact that though there are things that are said that I took for granted that this is what they had to do in order to be saved. And as we go through this where we're at, and I just want you to see this, go to chapter 10 and look at verse 1. And it means exactly what it says. And in Romans chapter 10 verse 1, the Apostle Paul goes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So Paul was a Jew, okay? And Paul had brothers and sisters that were of Israel, that he wanted them to grasp the gospel of the grace of God because they were not part of that flock. They were not part of the true Israel that was with Peter. And they could not be if they wanted to be, because that time had passed, right? And so that flock, God's chosen people that have died in their faith, that will be resurrected, are not the issue in this conversation piece in chapter 1. It was that nation of Israel that were unbelievers, that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, that crucified their Savior, and they walked away. They walked away from Acts chapter 2 verse 38 when Paul told them all of Israel had to repent and be baptized. And so Paul had a hope. He didn't want these people to remain lost. So he's speaking specifically what we've always called the Romans Road. If he starts in chapter in this verse here, the rest of the verse, all the rest of that letter to a point goes all the way to Israel, all the way through. And so here's the point. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." See, what happened is Israel had a zeal. They followed the law. They had the hierarchy. They had the high priest. They had all those that knew the law that were watching, and they had a zeal. They were going through all the emotions that the Jews would go through, but they didn't have knowledge of the risen Christ, that He was the Christ, that He had forgiven them for all their sins. They were still going through the motions. By the way, today, in the nation, in the country of Israel, guess what? They still have a zeal for God. So much so they'll die for what they believe in. It's sad that they're going to die for believing in the wrong thing. Now, they're right as far as times past, but the knowledge had changed. The truth had changed. The mystery, the revelation that was given to Paul had changed everything. It was a new dispensation. Right? And so you see that. And so the Romans road is not our Romans road, or it's not the right way. Now, there are some universal scriptures there that I believe are very good. I believe that, you know what? I do confess the Lord as my Savior. Right? But it's not an issue of whether it saves me or not. What I trust in saves me. Okay? But he goes on to say, and he says, "For I bear them record," in verse 2, "that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Guess what? Everywhere tonight in Awana, these little kids and these adults are learning all these verses. And amen, they get prizes, they get awards, they get stickers, and they feel good about it. I remember, man, when I was growing up in the same scenario, man, if I brought the most friends of VBS, I always got a goldfish. You know, I always won. Or I got that bread with all the verses that I learned. You know, that little plastic piece of bread. I remember those things. Man, how it would motivate me. I had a zeal. I had a zeal of God. Man, I thought I was somebody when I got something somebody else didn't have. I did it all the way up until I was 30 years old. I had to have the biggest youth group. I had to have the funnest youth group. The best workers in the world. You would never find better workers than me when I had a youth group. Because I wasn't the best teacher or the best. But I'm going to tell you, I could build a team like nobody could believe. And there was never a problem. I could go to any church I wanted to in Chattanooga and Dalton and Ringo and I'd get a job. Because, I worked it. I worked it well. I could entertain and build a team like you wouldn't believe. I mean, Timmy was with it. Paul Summey. A lot of y'all remember David Williams. And I could name person after person that grew up under me that, man, we just built a team and they were awesome. They were fun. They made me look so good. And I could do it everywhere I went. You know. And so, I had a zeal. I was working for the Lord, man. That's what I was doing. But let me tell you what, if I counted on that for my salvation to say, "God, see what I've done for you," I would be lost as a goose. That's what Paul says. Look, they have a zeal for God, but they've missed the knowledge when it comes to being saved. And let me tell you what, just go in your churches today, it's the same thing. All the programs, all the highlights, who's the senior pastor, who's the pastor over this, the pastor, you know, I'm telling you, it's a sad scenario because there's a lot of lost people that are leading churches. And so he goes on, he says that. He says in verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish," what did I say a while ago, what all I did? "Their own righteousness." That's what's going on in churches today. Churches are establishing their own rightness. They got the biggest cross. They got the biggest steeple. They got the best looking baptismal. They got the nicest pews. They got the best food on Wednesday night. They've got the best circle for Awana. They go to the Olympics. They win all the world. They're establishing their righteousness. Their rightness of why they are who they are. Think about it. I mean, today, it's just like they're just like a business being the best business in Fortune 500 magazine. I'm telling you today, I mean, if you go into where I work at Economy Honda, the issue is if you break a record and you don't break a record the next month, you're going backwards. I mean, that's where I work. That's the position that we're in. Now, there's some leaderships that are not like that, but they always compete with the small ones. And the bigger ones always compete with the big ones. It's just all through life is a competition, even in religion, to where we're nothing different than the rest of the world if we're after our own righteousness. The first time we come in here and we say, "Look what we have and look what we've done," and the Bible's not the most important thing, we lose it. Now, we may not be the most popular, But I guarantee you, you could look around and say, we'd be the most saved. Which one's more important? Where you're going to go or what you're doing? I'm just telling you, it's a serious situation because people today are teaching this verse as if it speaks directly to them. And it's the history that Paul had a broken heart for these of Israel that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And he says in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, what was their ignorance? That He was the Savior. That He had died for their sins. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They didn't have the knowledge. They had the zeal, but not the knowledge. It says, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What was the righteousness of God? His Son on the cross, becoming sin for us. And made right. We're made righteous by what His Son did. And they didn't get it after He did it, and they saw it. They were witnesses of it when they martyred Stephen. They committed blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. They would have never entered into the kingdom of heaven anyway, because they couldn't. And in verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law. That's that zeal they had. For righteousness to everyone that believeth. And we go on and read, and he says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. See, and it's clear. If you're going to do them, you better live by them, and you can't do it. It just don't happen. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? What is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now that's what Paul would be preaching. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The issue is what they believe. They did not believe that He was the Savior. They did not believe in that. The issue is today, I believe in that. I trust in that. I confess that. That's what we do. That's who we become. It's the issue the confession is made easily. It's not the issue that you've got to do that in salvation. It becomes automatic. It becomes who we are. And Paul is worried about these Jews and what they believed. How they had a zeal for God and the law was over. It wasn't about that zeal. It was about the faith of Christ. And whether they believed it or not. So a lot of times people will go through this as if it's speaking directly to us, but he says all this. He says, how then shall they call on Him? In verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom, what's the issue? They have not believed. So Paul said, my hope and prayer is for all of them to be saved. They still thought, well, we're the Jews. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Christ died for all. He says, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Paul's message was to preach it. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, what's the issue? By the Word of God. And the issue now was the Word. Believing. And they didn't. That was Paul's desire for them. And then, you know, if you go on in, it says, go to verse 11 in chapter 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And I'm going to go through all that study, but it's a good read. But understand, that Romans road explains the issue of Israel being unbelieving. And Paul wanted them to believe the message because not all Israel was Israel. You have almost as if a division. You have the flock that believe that is going on and they're doing those things that they're supposed to do, and you have these unbelieving Israel that wanted to stamp out the name of Christ. So that's why we know, if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Y'all with me so far? Okay. I covered that kind of hurriedly, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, we stopped Sunday with this. Just look at verse 12 through 16 and we're going to move forward. In verse 12 it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." So now we know that Paul wasn't the first person to be saved, right? But he was, however, the first person to be saved in the manner that he was saved. Okay, although Paul wasn't the first person to be saved, in the manner of how he was saved, he was the first. He was the pattern. The first to be saved totally and completely by the grace of God. Before Paul's salvation, there was keeping the law. There was water baptism, repentance, and forsaking all that he had. Remember what we read Sunday morning? We talked about all those things that they had to do, that was required of them to do. Okay? But God revealed to Paul that when Christ died on that cross, He died for your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. Paul says He was raised again for our justification. And Scripture says that He was the first. Says here what we just read in verse 16. He was a pattern. Now honestly, how hard is that to understand? We've been talking about how some people have a hard time understanding the Bible. The problem is, they don't read what the words mean. And if the Word of God is your authority, and you say this is what you believe by, what you put your hope in, what you put your knowledge in, by which you're saved, by which all are saved, okay? The hope is that this isn't hard for you to understand. The reason sometimes it's hard to understand is because we're too lazy to read it. We wait till Sunday or till Wednesday, and then we get caught in a position to give somebody an answer or to help somebody. And you know what? Because we've not rightly divided the word of truth, we become ashamed. Hopefully, it would drive you to want to learn the word instead of saying, "Well, I just quit." But a lot of people just quit. But it's not that hard to understand. I mean, honestly, a lot of people say, "I don't like the King James Bible." Howbeit, I know that's not what we walk around and say anymore. But it's not that hard to understand, is it? "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first..." I'm sorry, if it was in Him first and it's our authority and we think there's another way, we've just made the Word of God a lie. He says, "In me first." So, He was a pattern. It's not hard to understand. Anything that you make, unless it's something new... Anything that you make, unless it's something new, or unless you're totally against directions, okay, it's a pattern. If you follow a recipe, there's a pattern. If you build a house, there's a pattern. If you make a dress, you go by a pattern, right? And Paul says, "In me first, as a pattern." So if it was in Paul first, and he claims in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he was the last but not a whit behind, but he was the last to receive the message that Jesus Christ gave, and it was the revelation of the mystery that nobody else knew. It says it was kept secret when? Since the world began. It was kept secret since the world began, and he was the pattern for all to have life everlasting. Evidently, there must not be another way, or somebody has created a wrong pattern. And today, people have a zeal of God, but they're following the wrong pattern. Right? And we better know it. It's just not hard to understand. Paul begins to preach, and the issue was, it wasn't the gospel of a kingdom, it was a new gospel. If it's new, then it's never started before. The difference, if you look at Acts chapter 1, is very simple. What did the disciples say to Christ? Will you at this time restore the kingdom again? That means it wasn't new. But Paul says, new. A new gospel. So there is more than one good news. But the good news that Paul had is by the way that you're saved. If you believe any other way, you're wrong. He began to reveal it, that not only was Christ the Savior, not only did He die, not only did He raise again the third day, but that He forgave all sin for all. That was the difference in what Paul knew. Right? He preached a mystery. He preached a revelation. He preached not only for it to be for Israel. He preached neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free. He preached the gospel of grace for all. Right? That's what he did. Go to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, just to prove Peter had nothing to do with it, if you look at verse 11 and 12, Paul makes a certification here. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I remind you all the time, it's not just the Jesus Christ that the disciples knew, but it was the risen Christ. It was the issue that He had risen. Okay, that He knew things that they never understood. Paul even said in 2 Peter chapter 3, some things hard to understand. Right? Alright. Go to chapter 2 and look at verse 2 in Galatians. Galatians 2 verse 2 says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Here you have the issue that in Acts chapter 15, verse 1, what did they say? They said, that's fine that you got it, but you must follow our law. You must do the things that we do. So Paul says, I went up to him, I even brought Titus with me, and he didn't feel compelled to be circumcised. You know why? Because Titus knew the truth. Just skip on down to verse 6 and 7. But of these who... Now this is important, and this is something I haven't always caught. But of these who seem to be somewhat... And he's talking about those that he met in Acts chapter 15. Whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So that means when he went and saw those, and Peter stood up in defense for Paul in Acts chapter 15, that means everything they gave Paul, because let's remember now, Paul went away, he got a revelation by the risen Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and he became a pattern, and he even went to those of the upper echelon, those Jews, and he went to them, and he says when they confronted each other, not only did Titus not want to be circumcised, there was nothing they could say to him that would add one thing to what he had. Right?
And what did Paul do? He stood up in his defense. I mean, Peter. Because he remembers going back to Cornelius' house and how Gentiles could be saved through them. So you can follow that along. You can go to Acts chapter 15, go to Acts chapter 10, but we don't have time. But he says in verse 7, not only did they add nothing to them, what's the next two words? But contrariwise. He says, on the total opposite end. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Totally separated the gospels right here. And Paul had a pattern that now all would have life everlasting. Why are we going to follow another pattern? Because even they knew it was different. Well, why?
Well, you had Peter was with that flock that believed, right? Is what you had. And they were known as what? I'm probably spelling this wrong, but I don't care. You had the circumcised, right? And then you had Paul with another gospel. And he was to go to what? The uncircumcised. A lot of times we think that just strictly being Gentiles. But guess what that flock thought about those unbelieving Jews? They were just like uncircumcised. They were considered unbelievers. If you were an unbeliever, you were as good as an uncircumcised person. So what they did, they not only kept their flock that Paul went to, that, because there's nobody else that could be added, right? That pattern had gone away to be added. So only that flock. Peter had no reason to go to others to get them to be added to the Jewish church. Peter wanted them to read Paul's letters so that they could be saved. Right? And they were counted as uncircumcised. So what you had is, what did Paul say? Neither Jew nor Greek. Neither bond nor free. But he forgave all. And they can all be saved by Paul. And that's why in Romans chapter 10, Paul had a hope that they would be saved too. Because they were no different than Gentiles. They were no different than dogs either. Right? And so that was an issue. One thing I like about this that I didn't notice before is in verse 7 he says, he doesn't say, but contrary is when they saw that the gospel, he didn't say to the circumcision, to the uncircumcision. He says the gospel of the uncircumcision. So it was their gospel. It wasn't like he had something new to give somebody that somebody else could give something to him too. No, this good news was of the uncircumcision. It was of this. That's it. That's what they had. They had nothing else. Does that make sense how it makes it more singular? And he says in verse 7, right after that, was committed unto me as the gospel of, not to the circumcision. Not like he was just bringing good news to them, but he was bringing the good news that they had. That's it. To me, that's how I read that. It singles it out that that's the only pattern that is real. That's the only pattern that it can be. Because it was the gospel of. Right? It was the good news of. That's their good news. It wasn't good news to them. It was the good news of them. That's it. That was their message. Right? Now, he did bring it to them. Don't get me wrong. But it was what they had. And by the way, it's what you have today. It says of and not to. Peter's of the circumcision in Acts chapter 2:38. He says, repent and be baptized. The issue with Peter, this flock, for those that believe, was to repent and be baptized in Acts 2:38. That's what he tells them. Repent and be baptized. In Acts 10, God was no respecter of persons. Works of righteousness and fearing God. So even Gentiles back then could be part of that flock if they fell into submission to Israel and to Israel's God. They repented and they were baptized and they were circumcised and they feared God and they did works of righteousness. They had the zeal of God. They showed their faith by works is what they did. And to be under Peter's gospel, it was to follow those things that John the Baptist taught. Paul of the circumcision, his gospel, okay, according to our righteousness, his circumcision was not according to our righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Right? Peter's was according to their righteousness, their works. But Paul's gospel was not according to our works or our righteousness, but it was according to the righteousness of God. In Paul's gospel, it didn't matter what your color was, what your race was, or what your creed was. In Peter's gospel, it mattered. You had to be that as of a Jew. God is saving people not on the basis of what they are or who they are. God is saving people today on the basis of what they believe. And if you think He's saving people in any other matter or form, that's not the gospel. He's saving the gospel on basis on what they believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. We've read it and read it and read it. We'll read it again, over and over again, because I'm going to tell you, this is the best Romans road you'll get. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. If Paul's the pattern, don't we need to go by Paul's letters? Oh, let's go to, somewhere else for our doctrine. That's insane. Let's lead somebody to Christ by going to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That's crazy. It's not our doctrine. If he's the pattern, we don't get our doctrine from somebody else. Moreover, brethren, in verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've just believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So it's based on that they are trusting on what Jesus Christ did on the cross and from the resurrection. So when Paul says that he is preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation mystery, the idea there that there was a dispensation given to Paul. He says in Ephesians, a dispensation given to me to Eward. Is what he says. Right? The doctrine of this dispensation is found in Romans through Philemon, the books that Paul wrote. Everybody today that gets saved in the dispensation of the grace of God gets saved the same way. Don't let anybody fool you. If you get saved today in the dispensation of the grace of God, you get saved the same way. No different. Many people believe that there are many ways. They are absolutely wrong. There is one way today that a person can be saved. They have to acknowledge, first of all, that they're a sinner. They have to acknowledge that over 2,000 years ago was a man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He hung on a cross, bore our sin, became our sin, and died for our sins. And God forgave us for Christ's sake. That's the issue. When one believes that and trusts in that, the Bible says that by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. So the issue is believing that. There's no other way you can be saved. Because it's the gospel of the uncircumcision. And that's who you are. And it started when that flock was no longer added and Paul was saved. And Paul's letters show you that. Water baptism doesn't place you in the body of Christ. It's spiritual baptism. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one baptism. So if there's any other baptism besides spirit baptism, and any church does it, make it on record, they're liars and deceivers, and they're leading people wrong. They have a zeal for God, but they don't have the knowledge. It ain't to be mean. I want them all to be saved. But you can't be saved being wrong. You just can't do it. Paul says there's one baptism. That one baptism is associated with the church, the body of Christ. There were three or more associated with Israel. There is only one with the church, the body. It's spirit, and it's placed in you into the body. Denominations don't matter. Trusting matters. What you trust in. If you have it, you're not. That's all there is to it. That sounds mean. But if you haven't trusted in what Christ did at the cross, you're not saved. If you're not, then you're lost and you're on your way to hell. The only hope for you is not to join the church. It's not to quit doing something else that you're doing wrong. It's coming to the end of yourself, quit trying to save yourself, and trust in what Jesus Christ did. That's salvation. This was the whole purpose in God giving the message to Paul, and we miss it. The whole purpose in God giving this pattern, this message to Paul, so that we could have the hope of salvation through grace, His faith, through faith, right? Not works of righteousness, but without works of righteousness. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Just about done. This is where we started Sunday morning. I hope it makes more sense when you break these things down. In Ephesians 3, 1, the Apostle Paul says in his letter that was God-breathed, so it ain't Paul that said, yeah, I'm going to write a letter. I hope it's right. God penned this. God told him what to write. Right? He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, by the way, if you sat here tonight and listened at all, you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God. You're without excuse. He says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Remember what we started off reading? They have a zeal for God, but no knowledge. Paul says, like I said before, now if you'll read, if you'll understand, you'll have the knowledge of this mystery. Right? Not just a zeal for God, but the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, how that He forgave you of all your sins. And he says in verse 5, which in other ages... Now that is not hard to understand which age he's talking about, does it? Because it was in other ages. It was before Paul was saved. Which in other ages, in another time, in another dispensation, in a time where there was no mystery, there was nothing hidden, it was spoken by the prophets, that's what they went by. Right? Now it wasn't. It was spoken by mystery. He says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So not by works of righteousness, joining a church, confessing your sin, not by doing better, turning over a new leaf, not giving your money, but instead how? By the gospel. Nothing of this, it's done by the good news. What we read in 15:1 through 4, what He had done. He's forgiven you of all your trespasses based on what He did at the cross. If you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love for you to do it right now. Especially when you have young people in here that may not have heard the gospel. But it don't matter if you're young or old. The question is, would you if you never have? Would you trust Him as your Savior? The one that died for you. The one that loves you. The one that gave Himself for you. That you might be saved. Not to do it for Him for His favor. It's that you might be saved. See, there was a mystery that was never known until it was given to Paul. And it was to save those that didn't believe in times past, that were with Paul, those Jews that couldn't be part of that flock. It was for those, as Paul continued with his life and nobody was left with him, he was by himself. And it's for you today because there wasn't another dispensation given since Paul. And we learn it through Paul's letters, and we can prove it through what we've read. And the way that you're saved is to trust that Christ died on the cross, rose again the third day, and that He forgave you of all your sins. Get rid of all the things you think you need to do after that. Trust solely in that. And the Spirit will baptize you and count on it for your righteousness.